1 Corinthians 8, my devotions this morning, I ran across a verse that has captured my attention really all my Christian life. Don't think I've ever heard a message on it. I've never preached on it. And I couldn't get past it. I couldn't get beyond it. Couldn't get above it or around it, below it. So I said, well, let's just go for it. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 3, we'll read it, we'll pray. 1 Corinthians 8, 3. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. The title of my message tonight is Our Love of God and for God is Known by God. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you guide and direct in our service this evening. Help us to scratch the surface, just a little bit of this incredible truth, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. But if any man love God, let's kind of break this down in A and B if we could. First, in order to love God, a man must know God. So let's explore that briefly. In order to know God, I've come up with maybe five different scenarios. Okay, first, we can know God through knowledge and or information transfer. You can teach. You can learn, you can read, you can gather information about God, right? So, to know God is more than just, well, there's a lot of different levels of knowing God, right? A pagan, a heathen can say, I know God. Well, how? Through this method. You can gather information about God. Second, how can you know God? You can know God through secondhand information. Somebody telling you about God. You can hear other people's testimonies. You could be a second generation Christian and know God because of what other people say about God. That doesn't mean you know God. I mean, and we'll get to that definition shortly. But you see where I'm going with this. Oh, I know God. You do a random sample in the community or in the county. Do you know God? Well, how do you know him? And these are answers that you would probably get. Third, you can know God by a personal encounter with God. Moses had a personal encounter with God. Exodus chapter 3 and 4. Nicodemus had a personal encounter with God in John chapter 3. The woman at the well had a personal encounter with God in John chapter 4. The impotent man at the well had an encounter with God in John chapter 5. And the man born blind had an encounter with God in John chapter 9. They met the Lord. There were others. I just wanted to, this is another way of knowing God. Fourth, we can know God through personal salvation. We can know God through personal salvation, defined as a personal infilling of God, forgiveness of sin, experience of removed guilt and shame, the spiritual transaction that takes place when Christ covers our sin by his sacrificial offering of his spotless blood to remove our trespasses against him. So, in order to love God, a man must know God. And we've looked at four ways where we could describe, identify the possibility that somebody would say, I know God. Let me give you the last way. On our website, we have a little phrase, First Bible Baptist Church. You want to fill in the rest? Four words. So much for a website. Where lives are transformed. Where lives are transformed. So let's look at that fifth way that we can know God through personal transformation. What does that mean? What does that look like? When a believer in Christ comes to the end of himself, herself, his strength, his resources, his training, his misplaced notions that he can do and accomplish things for God, when in reality he is broken and comes to the all-sufficient reality that Christ is all and that the believer can rest completely in Christ who will do everything through him. We can know God that way, right? And have complete rest in him. Now, let's look at B. To know God was A. To be known by God. And we could really take the rest of the week and talk about those that were known by God. First off, top of my head was Mary Magdalene. Because after the resurrection, if you remember correctly, she thought he was the gardener. She's having this conversation with the gardener. And he does something very special to get her attention. What does he do? He calls her name. He knows her by name. So Mary Magdalene was known by God. Jesus knew Peter. How do we know? He called him by name. He also gave Peter another name. His name was Simon. Jesus gave him his ministry name, his apostle name of Peter, the stone. So, let me take a few moments to look at this particular verse. If any man love God, the same is known of him. I'm going to look at two different things. What the Bible declares, and second, what our fruit displays. So if we look at this passage of Scripture, and again, we're just doing the tip of the iceberg here. If any man love God, the same is known of him. Meaning the individual who loves God is known of God. Okay, so we're going to look at what the Bible declares. Exodus chapter number 20, verse 6. Exodus 20, verse 6. What does the Bible declare? And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. The first part of this verse is our love to God, right? Yes? Okay. And how that is manifested, how that is demonstrated. So I want to look at a few passages of Scripture that declares what God expects from his followers. Deuteronomy 6:5. Deuteronomy 6:5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Deuteronomy 6:5. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse number 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. Remember, 1 Corinthians 8:3 says, but if any man love God, meaning not everyone does. Proverbs 8:17 is a fascinating passage of scripture. It's very simple. This would be a great passage to teach your children. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love them that love me. That's pretty simple, right? And those that seek me early shall find me. A great passage of scripture for children. Now let's finish this bundle with the great commandment. We're going to look at the version in Mark 12. So we can find the great commandment in three gospels, but let's read the one out of Mark 12, verse 30. But if any man love God, Mark 12, what does the Bible say about loving God? Mark 12, verse 30 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Amen? Okay, so we have this bundle. What does the Bible declare about our loving God? Let's look at another bundle that has another theme. We're going to start in Nehemiah 1. Don't turn there. Go to John 14 for me. As you're turning to John 14, let me read Nehemiah 1, verse 5. Nehemiah 1, 5. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. So let's look at this New Testament package, starting in John 14, verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Okay? And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. We're looking at 1 Corinthians 8:3. But if any man love God, John 14, verse 23 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. As far as I can tell, that's the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and we know the Holy Spirit's going to take up residence within us. So that's a Trinitarian promise. I love that. John 16, we'll end this particular packet. John 16, verse 27. 16:27 says, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye, disciples, have loved who? And that refers to Christ. And have believed that I came out from God. So as 1 Corinthians 8:3 says, but if any man love God, this is our responsibility, not his, ours. Okay, you turn to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to turn to Psalm chapter 5. Romans 8, I'm going to Psalm 5. Psalm 5:11. Says, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Okay, Romans 8, are you there? You all familiar with the Romans 8 famous passage of scripture, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to whom? To them what? That love who? God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Bible says, but if any man love God, so it comes from us, this directive, this conditional promise in 1 Corinthians 8, 3. We'll go to 1 Corinthians 2, 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Okay, you with me? James. James chapter 1. Can tell what month it is by the angle of the shadows in the church. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. James chapter 2, not far away. James chapter 2, verse 5 says, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? 1 Peter chapter number 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Whom, having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Ye love the Lord in whom you have not seen. 1 John chapter 4. As I've mentioned before, this was the verse we gave our children when they were youngins. 1 John 4, 19, we love him because he first loved us. So as we look at 1 Corinthians 8, this conditional promise that Paul spoke to the Corinthians, but if any man love God, so this begins and is manifested by us. So let's look now not only at what the Bible declares, let's look now at what our fruit displays. What does our fruit display? This is what the Bible says, but what does our fruit show? Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, if you turn there. Galatians 5, 13. What does our fruit display? Galatians 5:13 says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, what should we do? Serve one another. So even though the Bible declares we are to love God, what should our fruit display? We should serve one another by love. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 begins that famous passage on the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Not something that we can give, but something that the Holy Spirit, by the fruit of the Spirit, can give through you to others. Your love can only be physical, friendship, it cannot be agape love. Only God can give you agape love. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. What does our fruit display? 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto what? Unfeigned, unpretentious love of the brethren. You're not being Southern. This is unfeigned. You're not being dramatic about this. This is not scripted. This is authentic. Love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. 1 Peter chapter 3, we won't leave that. 1 Peter 3:8, we're looking at what our fruit displays. 1 Peter 3:8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, and for goodness sakes, be courteous. Be polite. You're probably more polite to lost people than you are to people in the house of the Lord. 1 John chapter 3. We'll do two more verses there. And those will be the last passages of scripture I see. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 14. We know that we have passed from death. Spiritual separation from God, that doesn't mean physical death. We know that we have passed from being lost unto being saved, from death unto life, because what? Why? How? Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Two verses down, verse 16. 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Okay. So, 1 Corinthians 8, turn back there, if you would. We'll go back to our verse for the evening. Our love of God and for God is known of God. I know that's a long title. 1 Corinthians 8:3, but if any man love God, the same, that man that loves God is known of him, is known by God. Dave Furman, in Relevant Magazine, January 31st, 2018. The title of the article is The Power of Being Known by God. Quote, John Piper writes, deeper than knowing God is being known by God. What defines us as Christians is not most profoundly that we have come to know him, but that he took note of us and made us his own. End quote. J.I. Packer writes in his book, Knowing God, quote, what matters supremely, therefore, is not, in the last analysis, the fact that I know God, but the larger fact which underlies it, the fact that he knows me. I am graven on the palms of his hands. I am never out of his mind. All my knowledge of him depends on his sustained initiative in knowing me. I know him because he first knew me and continues to know me. He knows me as a friend, one who loves me, and there is no moment when his eye is off me or his attention distracted from me, and no moment, therefore, when his care falters. End quote. continuing on with this article, it says, God knows you and what you are going through in your darkest trial. He knows each of your chemotherapy appointments. He was there weeping with you when you lost a loved one. He knows your every injury and irritation. He sees your despair. He knows how you feel. Jesus really knows every hair on your head. He knows about every ache, every wound, every thought, every emotion. Every bad day is a day Jesus is aware of. No trial surprises him or escapes his eye. Jesus encourages those who are facing persecution to not fear those who can kill the body, but do nothing else. Instead, we can trust the God who knows us and is keenly aware of all our circumstances. He knows us and cares for us, and yet we go looking for solace in other places. Hurting friend, don't look for your ultimate comfort in the things in this world. Don't look for comfort in your social media activity or your hobbies. Don't search for it among friends from work or in your boss's applause. You are known by the King. I'd like to, if I could. I found a list on what I consider to be a very therapeutic website. It's titled wholesomewords.org. Wholesome Words. I knew I could go to that website because I wanted to give you an illustration of those known by Him. So I'm going to start alphabetically. I'm not going to read all their dates, but I think the names might be familiar, some of which might be familiar to you. Charles Alexander, Gladys Allward, Philip Bliss, Horatio Bonar, William Bradbury, David Brainerd, John Bunyan, the Cambridge Seven, William Carey, Louis S. Chafer, James Chambers, J. Wilbur Chapman, William Cowper, Fanny Crosby, William Cushing, Martin DeHaan, William Doan, Christmas Evans, Edwin Excel, John Getty, James Gilmore, Solomon Ginsberg, Jonathan Goforth, William Green, George Grenfell, Francis Havergal, Matthew Henry, Alicia Hoffman, Harry Ironside, Sam Jones, Adoniram Judson, William Kirkpatrick, Eric Liddell, David Livingston, Robert Lowry, Robert Murray McShane, James McGranahan, Alexander McKay, Charles McIntosh, Samuel Marsden, Robert Moffat, D.L. Moody, George Mueller, John Newton, Henry Knott, John Patton, Arthur T. Pearson, Ira Sankey, Cyrus Schofield, Mary Slessor, Gypsy Smith, Charles Spurgeon, George Stebbins, C.T. Studd, Billy Sunday, Hudson Taylor, R.A. Torrey, Daniel Towner, William Tyndale, Isaac Watts, Charles Wesley, Walter Wilson, Daniel Whittle, Walter Wolston, and John Wycliffe. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. Let's pray. Lord, we know that you know all things. Psalm 139 reminds us that wherever we are, whatever our thought might be, wherever geographically we're located, you're there. Jonah didn't understand that, but he came to appreciate the omnipresence and the omniscience of God. And every once in a while, we need to be reminded that even though we might not be actively, zealously seeking God, God is actively, zealously seeking us. Sometimes we wonder in our physical aches, our pains, our tiredness. We wonder where the joy of the Lord has gone. Well, it's gone because the fruit of the Spirit is not there. Because the second fruit of the Spirit is joy, biblical joy. So we don't have to work up a love for God. That's the first fruit of the Spirit. God will give us His love so we can love Him back with it. And love others with that gift of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, when we love You that way, it's obvious to everyone around that we are known by God because we love You this way. Are we known by that? Do people know us as God lovers? I hope they do. I pray that they do. Lord, help us to meditate on this truth. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. So, let's get our prayer cards. I'll need a couple two folks to pass those out.